God promises to bless the nation who prioritizes God's relationship to it. A kingdom voter is a Christian who takes the opportunity to promote the rule of God in history through civil government. They are, at their core, kingdom independents. They do not ultimately belong to any political party. They belong to the kingdom of God. They ultimately are dedicated to advancing God's name, God's person, and God's policies in history. I am a kingdom citizen. I do kingdom voting as a kingdom independent because I do not represent the kingdoms of this world. I represent the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ. Vote as a kingdom independent and make sure your church is a kingdom church, creating kingdom disciples who are making a kingdom impact. In God's kingdom, he has four covenantal relationships. A personal covenant where you pledge fidelity to him as an individual. A family covenant where marriage and the family places themselves under his covenant. Then there would be the church covenant, where a body of believers place themselves underneath him. And then there was the concept of the national covenant. And it was in our Pledge of Allegiance. It is in our Pledge of Allegiance. One nation under God. There would be the assumption that if this nation would be undivided, if it would be one, if it would be jam-packed with liberty and justice for every citizen, then it would have to be covenanted underneath God. Let me put it another way. The assumption was if God was not a part of the equation, then unity would be in trouble, liberty would be in trouble, and justice would be in trouble because the relationship to God was not as it ought to be. A covenant is a divinely created relational bond. It's an agreement that one of those four entities, or all four, agree to be covered by God because a covenant is designed to cover. It is incumbent upon Christians to first and foremost ascribe themselves not to a political party, but to the superintending governance of God through civil government. It is to the degree that we operate under this umbrella, under this alignment with God, when it comes to your voting and your participation in the politics of the day, whether you lean Democrat or Republican, it is your kingdom-centeredness because you're covenantally aligned that should influence, guide, and govern your vote. The Bible makes it clear in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, which says this: every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Okay? I hope you caught that. If you want the right kind of government, God must be in the equation. Let me put it another way. The further you remove God's person and God's policies, because a lot of folk believe in God's person who ignore his policies, then you have removed yourself from the place of blessing and covering as a nation. Or to put it another way, the further you remove God's person and policies from what a government believes, how a government operates, the character of the leaders who make up that government, then you have removed yourself from divine blessing. No matter how much you pray, and no matter how much you use the God word, he says, then you have messed with God's authority and you've messed with God's ordinance. The Bible is pregnant with politics. From Genesis to Revelation, you see God all up in politics, setting up governments, taking down governments, giving laws, judging lawbreakers. He's all up in politics and nations. He makes it a comprehensive statement. He says all authorities, plural. That means your mayor, your city council, that means your state legislature, that means your governor, that means your House of Representatives, that means your Senate, that means your president, all authorities. To the degree that they are aligned with God's person and God's policies is to the degree you'll have a unified nation, a free nation, a just nation, and a righteous nation. Conversely, to the degree you're unaligned is to the degree that chaos will replace order. The biblical role of civil government, as outlined in Romans 13, is to maintain a safe, just, righteous, and compassionately responsible environment for freedom to flourish. You cannot remove God's perspective from government and have an ordered society. It will either become a chaotic environment, it'll become anarchy, it'll become oppressive, it'll become so free that there are no standards. I mean, it'll go all over the place because there is no superintending standard by which you're measuring how you approach the concept of voting. Now, people, when they hear that, get a little nervous because they say, Evans, are you purporting a theocracy? Well, let me explain something. You're too late. The Bible declares that the world is already a theocracy because the Bible declares that God rules over all. In fact, Psalm 22, 28 says the kingdom is the Lord's and he rules over the nations. So God is already ruling over everything. What ought to concern you is an ecclesiocracy. That is where a particular religion or a particular faith governs the society. But you cannot have God removed and have an ordered society because then you wind up with homocracy. That is, where man is seeking to replace God in the name of government. So I want you to get this perspective. Leave God out. Government is in trouble, so the citizenry is in trouble. Bring God in, policies in person, then you have a much more ordered environment in which to live and fulfill the role of safety, justice, righteousness, and compassion, all working together to help a hurting nation like ours right now. Now, the idea of government is to mirror or to reflect the image of God for the well-being of society. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, he says, because they no longer wanted to retain the knowledge of God, they didn't want his perspective anymore, God released them, turned them over, and he allowed decay to enter their world and their society. If you're tired of decay, as a kingdom voter, as a representative of the king, that means you're going to take seriously this responsibility to vote God back in and his perspective, which means you'll hold rulers accountable, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, to his perspective on whatever the issue is.
Dr. Evans will be right back after this important announcement.
Imagine the thrill of walking down the same streets, listening to the sounds of joy and laughter, touching the walls of an ancient city. Can you feel it? That's the power of the place where Jesus lived, died, and rose again.
Discover Israel with Tony Evans. Visit TonyEvans.org to learn more.
Ah, but as long as the evil one can keep us illegitimately divided, by making us more Democrat than Christian or more Republican than Christian, make our alliances more to homocracy than the rule of God, then we are aiding and abetting the deterioration and the destruction of the culture. Now, in our series, we'll get to some of the specific issues, but I want you to get this framework because I want you to be a kingdom independent. What I'm saying to you is government is not only a political enterprise, it is a sacred enterprise because it involves God. It is a spiritual enterprise. What discourages me is when the spiritual is brought up, people get offended. They don't want to hear it. When you bring what God says about justice or brutality or race or life, they start going into, my opinion is, no, you don't get to have an opinion that disagrees with God. You may have it, but you need to switch it, change it. Because if government belongs to God, you better get his opinion and adjust your opinion. Now you have a framework. You're going to be a kingdom voter, then you're going to partner with God in your vote. And his definition of civil government: to maintain a safe, just, righteous, and compassionately responsible environment for freedom to flourish. You know, he talks about the ordinance of God in verse 2. In other words, God has rules, right? The ordinance of God. You don't make up rules, even when it comes to government. You find out his rules and you obey those ordinances, those governing guidelines. That's why the Pledge of Allegiance and the idea of America is so great, because it recognized that there are inalienable rights given by the Creator that belongs to all men, and that if we're under God, we benefit from that. This country said it was God's house. We said one nation under God said we're going to be God's house. If you're going to be God's house, then it doesn't matter what everybody else says if the head of the house has spoken on any given subject. And so God is calling a nation of citizens to recognize his rules. He goes on to say, for rulers, verse 3, are not a cause for fear for good behavior, but for evil. That's safety. But that's also righteousness. He says, there's good behavior, there's bad behavior. Well, now, wait a minute. If there's good behavior and bad behavior, who's defining what's good and what's bad? Because once everybody gets to define it as they think it is, then you can have competing definitions of goodness. Good is because God says it's good. Bad is because God says it's bad. That's why the Ten Commandments was thou shalt not. He was giving a standard of good and bad. That's why we have laws, to give a standard of good and bad. He says that those ordinances come from God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 4:8 that nations became great because they followed God's righteous laws. If we are going to experience help and healing in our country, then your vote has to vote for God's way, whether you vote or Democrat or Republican, because once you come out the booth, you're only going to follow God's prescription, as we will see defined as we go along. So, he calls those who are in power, the political leaders, verse 4, for it is a minister, referring to the rulers, of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Guess what he calls a civil leader? A minister. Now I know we think of ministers as preachers, right? The person behind the pulpit, and that is a minister. In fact, every Christian is called to be a minister on some level. But he calls now civil servants ministers. And not only call them ministers, he calls them ministers of God. Now we know in the ministry you can have a bad minister and you can have a good minister. They still give them the title minister, but that doesn't mean they're good ministers. It just means they hold the position of minister. The job of Christians is to call them into account personally and policy-wise to be good ministers. You don't just pick policy and skip person. You don't just skip person and grab policy, because the ordinances are in the hands of the minister. And the minister is a person, he says, their ruler. You call for both. Some people talk about policy. Some people talk about person. No, if you're going to be a minister of God, you're supposed to be a good one in both categories. He says they are to represent God in good. He says they don't bear the sword in vain. Why? Because you want a safe, just, and righteous environment. Because freedom can't flourish if there is no safety, if there is no righteousness, and if there is no justice. And so he calls on them to hold and administer a standard of righteousness. In fact, 1 Timothy 2:2 says to pray for your leaders, pray for your politicians, that they may create an environment of peace. And so we are to hold our leaders accountable for the peacefulness of the environment in which we live. So, what's our standard? What are we going to use to judge it? Is it what I think, how I feel, how I was raised, what I prefer? You got Democrats, you got Republicans, you got Libertarians, you got this issue, that issue, two parts of the same issue. You've got police, you've got community, and you've got arguments coming at both sides. You've got this politician, that politician, and it's coming at us. And sometimes you don't know which world you're in. You fluctuate. Well, I like this over here, but I don't like that over there. I like this over here, but I don't like that over there. And you can wind up being totally confused. So you need a tool, something to help you discriminate through all the muck and mire of the confusion as you consider who you're going to vote for. You need a tool. That tool has to be the divine standard. On each issue, your first question is not who you're going to vote for. That's a secondary question. I know it's the one we talk about. The first question is, who does God want me to vote for? Now, based on the issues, every Christian still won't vote the same, but they should ask the same question, because you're a kingdom independent. What's the tool? What's the scripture saying about the issue? And you go to that first, and you don't get mad if the scripture says something other than you think or believe. You affirm yourself to the sovereignty of God, because he rules the nations. And I love Proverbs 8:15. He says, by me kings reign. By me kings reign. So if you want a king to rule right, a politician to rule correct, he says they got to rule by me. I set the standard. Government is to execute safety. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, this just execution of safety should be done quickly so that people do not have to live in fear. It must be done justly, however. But then it says in chapter 12, verse 19, when government does this, you cannot take personal retribution. He says that. So this principle of government, God's covered everything. There is not one issue in government that you can come up with to which God has not given a precept or a principle to govern how you should view that issue. And if only Christians would vote with that world covenantal worldview in mind. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, 20 and 21, that when people call good evil and evil good, and they get this thing all mixed up, then it says that confusion comes and people are discombobulated. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 says, if you bypass God's rule, you don't have the dawn. In other words, you can't see straight. And I think there's a lot of blindness today, all around, both parties, on the police side, on the citizen side, everywhere. There's blindness. Why? Because people have not decided to keep God in government, which is what the scripture says you must do. Therefore, he says, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. God must be included in government in order to have government function in the way God designed it to function. To promote the good, to keep evil from proliferating, and let him decide what's good and what's not good. Psalm 72:11, I love this verse, says he wants all leaders and all nations to serve him. A kingdom voter brings a biblical worldview to the ballot box. A kingdom voter votes for the person and the policies that will best advance the kingdom of God and the definition of civil government that I have articulated for you today. That's what kingdom of voting is all about. Now, that will affect your view of justice. That will affect your view of discrimination. That will affect your view of abortion. Yes, that will affect your view of marriage. Yes, that will affect your view of taxation. All of that, because God, guess what? God's got a view on all that. He has more than a view. He has a rule. And if you and I would take this rule seriously, then Christians could lead the way. Because, you know, as you've heard me say, Christians are one of the major problems. Because we haven't been kingdom-minded, we've been more cultural-minded and political party-minded, that we've not set the stage. And so we have contributed to the chaos greatly. But now is the time in the midst of the chaos that we can step forward and set a new temperature. In Genesis chapter 11, the first 9 verses, God let there be confusion in the land because they wanted society without him. And the Bible says, and so there was confusion. You leave him out of your vote, of our vote, on person and policy, there will be more confusion in the land. And we're the ones who have what God thinks. But what we've done is we've allowed our own identities, our own races, our own preferences to keep us from taking a comprehensive stand on righteousness and justice in the life of our society. So, you remove being under God. We remove being under God. We will discover we are a nation gone under. We remove under God. In practice, we will be a nation gone under. You're seeing it. It's right before your eyes. But God has given us a brief opportunity to turn this thing around if we will operate as a nation covenantally as kingdom voters. You know, it reminds me of how we view God. We hold him in high esteem. In God we trust. It's on our money. One nation under God. It's in our Pledge of Allegiance. In our Declaration of Independence, we say, by our Creator. We begin political events with invocations. We close them with benedictions. He is held in high esteem. But when it comes to how the nation operates, and often how Christians vote, he has no clout at all. We could care less what he thinks, what he says, and how he feels about it, because this is how I feel and what I think. We'll keep him in position because we'll go to church. We'll sing our songs. We'll wave our hand in the air like we just don't care. We'll give him position while ripping him of power. If you and I want to see a nation healed and helped, then we must not extract God from government. And that should be manifested in your thinking as you go into the voting booth.
The Bible makes it clear that God is the author of government. The government was established by God to bring his perspective to the ordering of society. The biblical definition of civil government is to maintain a safe, just, righteous, and compassionately responsible environment for freedom to flourish. This government perspective, God has established leaders to implement as his ministers, as those who are acting on his behalf to fulfill that definition. The closer a government is to God's person and principles, the more ordered society will be. The further government is from God's person and principles, the more chaos society will have. This is why it is critical that we have government and governmental leaders who not only believe in God, but want to reflect his principles in society.